Tonight, again to greet you in the name of our lovely Lord Jesus, the resurrected Son of God. And His presence is already here when I come in, so we're expecting to see the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even do or think tonight, that God will pour out upon us of His blessings and magnify Jesus Christ in our midst. I've been speaking the last two nights. Sunday night, I think we had a healing service, and Monday night I was preaching and give out. Started a subject Sunday morning in the tabernacle, and I thought while we were waiting around for our crowd to kind of get picked up a little bit, I would kind of give vent to my feelings. One of these days, if God willing and will help me, I'd just like to have several campaigns where you don't just go in and preach or teach the scripture and make altar calls and get out the altar and pray for the people and like we old-fashioned Baptists used to do. Only two Baptists that heard say amen. Where are you all at tonight? Someone said, Brother Branham, is you a Baptist? Yeah, I said, I was preaching here at Arkansas one time. An old fella got healed. He was a Nazarene. He had his crutches on his back the next day going around through the city with a sign on it, God take me off this last night. And he was very badly crippled. It was in Little Rock. And he had been that way for several years. And everyone knew him because he went around and had his hat laying down selling pencils out of the hat. And everyone knew him, so God had just done a great thing in this city. And a couple nights after that, I was preaching, and he raised up and said, just a minute, Brother Branham, you mind if I ask you something? I said, no, sir. And he said, well, he said, when I heard you preaching, I knew you was a Nazarene. He said, then I seen all the Pentecostal people around here, and somebody told me you were Pentecostal. He said, I heard you say a while ago you was a Baptist. He said, I don't get this. I said, well, that's easy. I'm a Pentecostal Nazarene Baptist. That's right. We're just, believe, oh, friends, I don't belong to any denomination of church, and yet I belong to every one of them. When I started out on this, I said, Christ is my head. This Bible is my textbook. And the world is my church. That's what I want to be till I die. Now, in a night or two, we'll try to start a healing service again when we get we're seeing these cots and stretchers laying around here. I'd like to see something. I'm so anxious for something to happen here in Louisville, Kentucky, because this is my home state. I've never had a good meeting in Kentucky. Now, I don't mean that with any slam. I've had plenty of bad ones, plenty of places, but I mean right here in my own home. It's so hard. It's just so hard to break it. I don't know why, but I guess it's because Jesus said in your own country, how'd it be? That's probably the way it is. But we never get to see too many outstanding miracles. I had a service here about a year or two ago in Jeffersonville, but it happened to be the woman was from up here in Kentucky somewhere. She had turned to chalk, like from her limbs down, from her hips down to her limbs. She hadn't walked for 17 years. Many of you there that night remember the case. And she got right up and walked out of the tabernacle normally. Now, I'd like for something to get started here in Louisville where I could see an old-fashioned revival sweep through this lovely big city here. It's a city of, like all other cities, it's as wicked as all get out. You know, that's the truth. I'm not hurting Kentucky because I'm a Kentuckian too. All right, but it's truth. It's wicked. This is the home of all whiskeys and distilleries and wicked devices and everything like it happens right around Louisville, Kentucky here. So this is the seat of Satan, but we can break it to pieces with the gospel of Jesus Christ if we'll all get together. That's right. We got to unite our powers together and push. Some time ago, a very famous evangelist in the country was talking about the services here. He said, well, here's what it is. He said, when I go into a city, everything throughout the country has to sponsor my meetings or I won't go. That's right. What do you think? I think there's perhaps 60 or 70 big Baptist churches right in Louisville. See? How about the Methodists? It's a Methodist town, Asbury being up here. What would that man have if he come to this city just a Methodist and Baptist, let alone the Presbyterian and all? Now, how many full gospel churches is here in the city? Two or three little missions down along here somewhere. Just small churches here and there. And they're at war with one another. But when you come in, you have to stand on the strength of your ministry. That's right. It isn't everybody like a politics moving in. It's on the strength of your ministry to draw from whatever the Lord will send. I like it that way. Brother, if Jesus Christ ain't my Savior, my dependence, then I have nothing else to depend on. That's right. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other grounds are sinking sands to me. I'd rather preach to 5 people that I know God had sent to hear the message than to preach to 10,000 that was politically pulled into it. That's right. I'd rather see one old-fashioned conversion get out the altar and cry and boo-hoo through than to see a 10,000 stand and just say, well, I'll try it. Try it. He's not a Christ. To try, he's one to accept. Live or die, sink or drown. Take him anyhow. If I prayed for 10,000 people tonight and they all died in the morning, tomorrow night I'd be back here praying for the sick, believing God's word is right. Right. If I was dying and 5,000 people died 100 years ago and had been in eternity that long, rose back and come to the earth and said, Brother Branham, don't you trust it. He's not right. Don't trust it. We trusted him, went, we failed. I'd still say, let me die in Jesus Christ. That's right. I believe it. And that's my whole heart, everything set right in that, and I believe it with all my heart.
Amen.
And I depend on him. And I love his people. And I love you fellow citizens of the kingdom of God, and I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with you and bear the burden. Now, tonight, I give out last night, I was going to speak a little while tonight, the Lord willing. Don't want to keep you too long, tire you, because we're expecting, I've got kind of like a fleece before the Lord for this meeting. And I'm expecting God to do something that'll start the meeting rolling right here in the city. You pray, do your part, then when the judgment comes, we can all stand and say, we did our part. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, and beginning with the 7th verse, I wish to speak just a few moments, if God will permit, on a very... Well, I'd say not an outstanding subject, but a good subject. Last Sunday, at the Sunday school at the Tabernacle in Jeffersonville, we started on redemption by the blood. And here's what I'm trying to do, if you want to know why I'm doing this here. Many of you say, you've never seen me preaching in a healing campaign, but it's for a purpose. I think if I could get souls broke down and come to the altar, then I'd find favor with God for Louisville. That's right. When the people really get down before God and pray. And then there's many of you, friends, that's praying, fasting, and afraid to take hold of what you're praying for.
Amen.
That's right. See? It won't go do you no good to fast and pray unless you've got some works to go with it. All your faith in the world won't do you a bit of good unless you step right out there and toe-to-toe with it and take it. That's all. You've got to go forward. You just got to step right out and do it anyhow. When you ask for anything, go get it. God said it's yours. So don't take nothing less. Get what you ask for. You do that and find out how it comes out. Yeah, don't back up and say, well, I'll take second. I'll take first. God promised me first. That's what I want. And for these 23 years I've served him, he's given me that place. And as long as I believe him and love him and he loves me, it'll be just that way because he's obligated to his word. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. You shall have it. That's what he said. Is that right?
Amen.
That's good. All right. I like to hear you say amen. You know, Sister Hoover, amen means so be it to me, you know. And I go to speaking, I don't hear nobody say amen. I get all puzzled. Here some time ago, I was preaching in a little church, and I was just, I haven't got very many pulpit manners according to the theology of the day, so I guess I got a little unruly, and I think I jumped up on the pulpit like that and grabbed the microphone in my hand and sat there, my feet swinging off preaching as hard as I could. I come to myself. I didn't know what I was doing. And a few minutes I got lost again, and I found myself down the middle of the aisle rolling up my trouser leg. I don't know why, but I was really, I'd like to stay there a while. That's one thing I'd like to say. It was somewhere that I sure was enjoying myself. I just lived off of it for several days afterwards. As the man come to me and he said, say, he said, how can you preach all them people saying amen? I said, that's what makes me preach. I used to have an old dog, a coon hunter. I guess I got plenty of Kentucky friends here that likes to coon hunt. So, and he would tree anything there was and go get it besides a skunk. And he just wouldn't have nothing to do with that. I came running under a brush pile, and the only thing I had to do, I didn't want to get under there after him, I'm sure. The only thing I do is just raise up the brush and pat him and holler, "Sick him, boy. Sick him. You go get the skunk." Now, the worst skunk I know of is the devil. And if you want to do a little patting, just holler amen once in a while. We'll give you a treat after a while and go get him. The old Buddy Robinson, many of you's heard of him, have you, the Nazarene Church, he said, "Lord, said, give me a backbone like a saw log, give me lots of knowledge in the Gabriel end of my soul, and let me fight the devil as long as I got one tooth and then gun him till I die." I think that's a good, and that's just what he did. That's just what he did. Way nearly 100 years old and still preaching the gospel. I hear them old veterans preaching like that. The other day I happened to turn on the radio and an old brother by the name of Mordecai F. Ham, around 100 years old, still preaching the gospel. I said, "God bless him. May he have stars in his crown when he gets there." Brother Ham, I just barely know him. One of these days I want to meet him before he crosses over the land, and so he can shake hands with a lot of folks over there. I know he'll have plenty to shake hands with when he gets there, oh, because he's been an old veteran. The Lord bless you now. And now, before we enter into this word, let's ask the author to come down and reveal it to us. Our kind Heavenly Father, we approach Thee tonight in that lovely, magnificent name of Thy Son, Jesus, confessing our sins that we are not worthy to speak His holy name. For in all the family of heaven is named Jesus. All the family on earth is named Jesus. And in that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to it, whether they be sinners or saints. Then when we speak in His name, how we should be quivering in our hearts with reverence as we speak. So we ask in His name reverently that You will come to us tonight, Lord. We're here in the midst of a great city with all kinds of devices. Satan has got the people so bound up in their businesses and his gambling and prostitution, whiskey and cigarettes and, oh God, and many ministers in the pulpit just let it pass by as if it was just one of the common things. But God, give us the voice of warning that we'll preach the gospel straight and true. Lay the axe to the root of the tree and let the chips fall wherever it will be. But help us, Lord, to pronounce judgment upon such things and preach the gospel of Thy dear Son, Jesus. God grant something to take place that'll shake this city for the kingdom of God. And even the churches that just going along on the corners with a few members, oh God, may them churches fill up and pack out with good old-fashioned saintly people born again. Grant it, Lord, and may we receive a revival, an old-fashioned God-sent revival that will shake from one side of the city to the other, getting rid of all the meanness. Oh God, don't give us a protracted meeting. Give us a revival that'll close up bootleg joints and that'll get things right. Make people come when the church bell rings and flock to the altar and pray before the pastor's message and be ready. God grant it. Now tonight there may be sick here, Father, and while we're speaking on the sick or for the sick also, may the Holy Spirit heal every sick person in the building. Save every sinner. Call back home every backslider from his wayward way. And now may the Holy Spirit be the one that has guided me to this subject tonight. And may He take the things of God and just use His servant here as an instrument. And may God receive glory, for we ask it in His name. Amen. In the 7th verse of the 20th chapter of Numbers, we read this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall bring forth his water." I want you to notice that his water. It shall bring forth his water. "And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock thrice, and the waters came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. May the Lord take these few words now as we go back to their subject from last night and bring it up to this, God willing. And now, I want all the sick that's in here tonight. Now, Billy never give out any prayer cards today because I told him not to. I said, just go over Billy and tell Brother Cobbles and just let me, I'm trying something for the glory of God. Just asking God to help us, to give us souls into the kingdom, at believers that'll strengthen their faith and move up even without anything else. We'll just move right up and say, God, I believe you on the word. There's the initial and first and best way. That's right. Take God at his word. Then if you can't do that, then of course God sends other things in, such as gifts and signs to confirm his word, to confirm it to every believer. Now, Sunday we had redemption by the blood. We're taking Israel now in their journey coming out of Egypt, type of the world, on their way to Palestine, the promised land. I think it's a beautiful thing. I just love it. Pretty near every week I sit down and read through that book of Exodus if I can, or as much of it as I can. I love it because it's a perfect type of the church today. The condition, how God is moving, moves then, what he did in the natural then, he's doing in the spiritual now. See it? Now there he led Israel, natural, where they seen, looked, moved them out of a certain land into another natural land. Now we're moved by the Holy Spirit in going now into the promised land. You believe we're on a road to a promised land? In my Father's house is many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I'll go and prepare a place for you. Is that right? Now, we have a promised land that we're going to. Each day marks a milestone. Another day, another milestone. And there's a big dark shadow setting out before us called death. And every time our heart beats, we move one step closer to that. One of these days, it's going to take its last beat, and we're going in. I want to be at my time, make my lot, as I hope every one of you is tonight. When I know that it's laying just before me and I have to meet it, I don't want to be a coward. I want to wrap myself in the robe of his righteousness, walking into it knowing this, that I'm sure that I know him in the power of his resurrection. That's right. That when he calls from among the dead, I'll be called out with them as the living. God is the God of the living. Now, as they journeyed in this land, we found out that God made a plan for them. He brought redemption by the blood. Then we find out he brings redemption again by power. We found night before last that he had the blood applied, which was a very beautiful type of the believer, that when he has accepted the death of Christ in his stead, then he becomes a child of God. He starts on his journey. Now, the next thing that he has to have after he is saved spiritually. Now, the death of the innocent lamb provided life for the guilty believer. Isn't that a perfect type now? The death of the innocent providing life for the guilty. And the death of the innocent Christ provides life for we, the guilty. Now, first then, after God gave them life through the blood and proved it, that death passed over them, he started them in their journey. We're going to catch up with them after a while. Now, notice, then the next thing God did, as soon as they would become believers and children and accepted God, the enemy of physical death took after them, and he had them cornered, right up with the desert on one side, the Red Sea on another, mountains on another side, Pharaoh's army coming, pursuing, millions of soldiers coming in the march to overcome them. Now, God had made manifest that he had given life through the death of the Lamb. Now he's going to show them physical redemption.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
See, both for salvation and healing.
Amen.
See, for the natural man and the spiritual man. The death angel passed over, proving that God had made a way of escape through the offering of the blood. And they accepted it. Now he's going to make a way of escape from a physical death. Like the believer, as soon as he gets saved, maybe a cancer's eating him up or some disease, God has redemption also through power. As soon as he has redemption for the soul, he has redemption for the body. They were saved and they were circumcised. They were under the blood. But yet the enemy was going to destroy them, kill them all right there in the wilderness. Then God showed his power of redemption for their body. You get it? You know what I'm speaking of? Redemption by the power. And then when the enemy was right nearly on them, the great supernatural pillar of fire raised up from over Israel, come over here and stood between them and death. Let us talk for a few minutes. Can you see what I'm speaking of? Now, to every believer, born again, child of God, when death comes stealing to the door prematurely, the angel of God stands between you and the sickness. Now, if you want to run right on to it, that's your business, but you don't have to. See? He's standing between you and death. 23 years ago in the Jewish hospital, Dr. Morris Flexer gave me 3 hours. One of your best surgeons here in the city. Give me 3 hours to live. I'm living tonight. Hallelujah. Why? By unmerited grace, the angel of God stood between me and death to protect me. And I accepted it. And in gratitude, by God's grace, I won 500,000 souls to him tonight. Oh, how God knows how to do things if we'll just follow. Don't try to lead God. Let God lead you, see. We are the ones to be led. I think that's why God likened us into sheep. Did you ever see a sheep lost? Why, he's the most helpless critter in the world. He can't find his way nowhere. He just stands and blates till the wolf eats him. Or he dies there. He can't find his way back. And that's the way that when a man is lost, he's totally helpless. Nothing you can do about it. God, through grace, has to lead you to Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. And all that he draws and comes, I'll give him everlasting life. What a promise. Oh, I wish I could get every person in here. That's a sink way down under the fifth rib on the left side till it hits the core of the heart. You'd see people just get up with all kinds of diseases hanging on to them, walk out of this building rejoicing, refusing to have it. Cripples would walk just as normal as they could be. They'd refuse to know anything else. See, you're scared. You're afraid to make the start. You're waiting for God to come down and pull you out. God doesn't do it that way. You're the one who has to make the step. He gives the promise and says, come on. Then you follow. Now, notice, the children of Israel, then God came and stood between them and the danger. Power of redemption. Redemption by power, rather. Redemption by blood. Redemption by power. Last night we left them just crawling up on the bank on the other side of the Red Sea. All the enemies, their chariot wheels had been taken off, their horses got spooked right out in the middle of the river, and they were turning every way, going this way. The wheels mired down the mud and fell off, and a bunch of men frantically running. The enemy and Israel climbed out up on the bank to see God stretch forth his hand and destroy all the enemy. A beautiful type, the believer under the blood, been healed then by the go-between, the power of God sparing his life, prolonging it for a time. They'd have everyone been killed right there. You'd have massacred them right there in the wilderness if God hadn't stood between them. I'd have been dead a long time ago if God hadn't stood between me and death. Every believer in here would have been dead a long time ago if God hadn't stood between you and death.
Every one of you. So God in His sovereign grace and mercy stands between the believer and death. Hallelujah. Here it is. Then, what's the next thing for the believer? The next thing is the baptism of the Holy Spirit then. Moses led the children of Israel right down to the Red Sea, was baptized in the Red Sea, the sea water representing Spirit. When he smote the rock, waters came out. And it was a type of Christ in John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. Notice, a perishing people in the wilderness was saved by a smitten rock. And a perishing people is saved today, perishing in sin, perishing in iniquity, because the smitten Son of God taken their place. Waters, the Spirit rolling out. Watch. I want you to see it now. As they went through the Red Sea was a type of receiving the Holy Spirit. After the believer has been redeemed from death unto life, the power of God has healed his body. Now he's a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now he's got a journey on ahead of him, but before he can meet that journey, he's got to have something to pack him through. Amen. Perfect type of Pentecost. Notice, as they crawled out of the bank, every believer, when you come in and are saved, accept the blood of Jesus, you still try to hang on to this and hang on to that, and you can't give this up, you can't give that up. After a while, God may do good things for you, but you can't give up your cigarettes, you have to take a sociable drink with the fellows now and then, but what you need to do is pass through the Red Sea.
Amen.
When they come out on the other side, here it is. I want you to see it. As they come out on the other side, crawled up on the bank, and looked back and seen all those old taskmasters who had beaten them, killed some of them, just like cancer and cigarettes and tobacco and whiskey and everything else drives the kids insane, sends them to the asylum, in the hospitals, and a bunch of neurotics and everything else produced in the world. When they looked back and saw all those things, struggling, helpless, and dying in the sea. Brother, you talk about a meeting. They had one. Moses. Oh, I'm going to let this sink deep. I hope it goes way down. Moses, greatest prophet ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. Never was a man that God ever spoke to like he did Moses outside of Christ. He said, if there be one spiritual prophet among you, I'll show him visions and make myself known to him, but not my servant Moses. I speak lip to ear with him. Right. Moses, this dignified man, as soon as he comes through that experience, he's seen all those taskmasters dead. He knowed all them things was gone forever then. All those things that had drove him and beat him and whipped him around was finished. He raised his hands and sang in the Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, my. Never been typed and won't be until we get the glory up on us. When the completion was made there, he sang in the Spirit. And when we were redeemed in the body, that was a type of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost when we passed through the sea. It was a type of Pentecost. And Moses in the anti and the type back there, when he passed through that, he sang in the Spirit. It come on the day of Pentecost, and when the body is perfect redeemed, now our soul is perfect redeemed.
Yeah.
Right. And not perish. Got everlasting life. What the Bible says. Oh, I feel good. Notice. Why? Because I know it's thus saith the Lord. I just anchor my soul and walk on and say, Satan, just kiss all you want to. You mean, don't bother me. All I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against the day. Amen. What we need tonight is a good old-fashioned Billy Sunday broke down hallelujah revival. It's what we need around Louisville here. That's right. Need a good old-fashioned God-sent Pentecostal revival.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Notice. Then, when our bodies are redeemed, which we got divine healing now as a shadow, as that was a shadow there of Pentecost, look what they've done in the shadow time of salvation. Look how they walked there before God. Quenched the edge of the sword of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, all these things they did. Come out of the fire furnaces, away from the lion's den, and everything by the shadow. Hallelujah. By the shadow of Pentecost, now we have perfect redemption through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
They couldn't have perfect redemption that causes under the blood of bulls and goats, and it will not take away sin. It only covered sin. But when Jesus' blood was shed, the most holy and righteous blood, sins wasn't covered no more. They were divorced and done away with, and the believer goes in the presence of his Maker.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If they did that, then the shadow there of Moses singing in the Spirit, then over in Revelation, those who's got perfect redemption of the body sit on the sea of glass and sung the song of Moses again over in the book of Revelation. Talk about a Holy Ghost meeting. They had it when they got up on that bank. Listen, sister, the little dignified Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Moses, a prophetess, she got so excited, so she grabbed up a tambourine and run down the bank beating this tambourine and dancing in the Spirit. Not only that, but all the daughters of Israel followed her dancing in the Spirit. If that ain't the Holy Ghost falling, I never seen one. Well, of course, all them ritualistic, dignified nations could have looked through the binoculars and seen that fanaticism. But it was God. The dignified saints look down today upon what God has blessed.
Amen.
Right. Reminds me of a story. A fellow had a great big fine farm. He built great big fine barns, just as dignified and classic as this could be. But he was too lazy to farm. All right, there's another farmer lived close to him. He didn't have very much of a barn, but he really was a farmer. And he put plenty of good food in that barn that year. Two little calves was born, one in one barn and one in the other. When springtime come, they turned the little calves out of the stall. That little calf from over here had been fed real good. My, when that wind began to hit him, oh my! He kicked up his heels away and went just as hard as he could go, snorting and jumping and bucking and going on. Then the other farmer turned his out over there. He had nothing to eat but weeds. Too lazy to farm, too lazy to feed him. What's the matter with some of these pastors? Right, right. Too lazy, too triumphant. Just dignified barns is all you got. Put some food in there for the church. Right, right. The baptism of the Holy Ghost brings us power. It was scorching. That's right, but that's what he means from good old days. It's scorching. What the church needs, what the members need. Notice, and this little calf had been poor little fellow come out of stall so thin he couldn't hardly walk. And he peeped down through the crack and looked across and seen that other calf just a snorting. He was all fat and round. He felt good. He'd been eating all winter. And that little star of calf looked over and said, such fanaticism. Sure, he's too skinny to think anything else. But I'll tell you, when that one is all fattened up all winter, brother, you know where he was at. He was having a good time. When that warm wind began to blow on him, and any man that's fallen under the Spirit of God, you're part of a fanatic or anything else, but when that warm spring Holy Ghost winds begin to come like it did over there at Pentecost, something's going to take place. Right? The warm winds begin to blow. Brother, you're all fattened up with the gospel, all around and feeling good. Pick up your heels and have a good time. That's what Mary and them did. Look back there and saw all them old things that they once done is all dead and gone. They've done seen God accept the blood, done seen his power and divine healing standing between
Amen.
Them, come to the Red Sea, was baptized with the Spirit, walked on the other side, just having a good time. They didn't care what all the organizations thought about it.
Amen.
Amen! What a perfect type it is today of the believer who will dare to step out. God promised that he'd supply their every need. He promised he'd supply every need. He never told them, I'll make a way of healing, I'll make a way of this, I'll make a way of that. He said, I'll be with you. Hallelujah. That's what he said to us. I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. That's all I have to say. You don't have to argue this, that, or the other. If he's here, that satisfies me. Divine healing, care, power, care, everything. He was there, he is now. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. so you can take the theology and drown with it. Brother, I believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
But I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world.
Yes. And there they came out, and he was with them. Now he said, all they had a little basket of bread on their head is all eat up and gone. Didn't have any. They went to bed a little hungry that night. But the next morning when they got up, there was bread laying all over the ground. That's the way God does things. Let you come right down to the last minute and show you what he can do about it. That's right. He loves to do that. He loves to surprise his people. You man like to do your wife like that. Wait till her birthday and just keep her under suspicion because you love her. That's the reason God lets us come to the end of the road sometimes, because he loves us the most supremely supernatural and power.
Praise the Lord.
Because he loves us. That's the reason he does it. Yes, he just lets us get right down to the place where we're just about to ready to make the last step, then he steps in the scene. He let the Hebrew children walk right into the fiery furnace, but there was a fourth man standing there with a fan. Keep it off of him. He's always there. He never leaves. He's always here. The angel of the Lord camp about those who fear him. There that night they picked up that bread. The next morning out to see those Israelites that had just passed through the Red Sea, had just been redeemed by the blood, seen the healing power of God, or the miraculous power standing between God as between Israel and Egypt, and had drowned the enemies behind that, like the old cancer's gone forever, the blindness is gone, the deafness is gone, the diabetes is gone, everything's done, drowned back down under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How you feel? Wow. Walk down the street, some old critics say, now wait a minute, are you sure of that? Don't talk to me. Oh my. I can see them out there just gathering up and eating and having a glorious time. Just like an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. Here come the Spirit of God moving over to some little thing to reach up, get it in the heart like that heart. Praise the Lord! It's an old-fashioned meeting like that. Yes, sir, they were just catching it from one side to the other, having a good time. Now that bread never did cease. It went all the way through the journey for them. That's right. And was a perfect type of Pentecost. You know, that was in the natural. That bread never did cease. It stayed the same bread until they entered the promised land. Is that right?
Yes.
You Bible readers know it. And then, when the church was inaugurated at the day of Pentecost, when the believers were up there, and there came out a sound like a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting, the same Holy Spirit that fell then falls down.
Amen.
It'll both come on from that time to the end of time. It'll go right on through. It's our bread. They were fed with natural bread. We were fed with spiritual bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that comes in God out of heaven. They said, our fathers eat man in the wilderness for the space of 40 years. He said, they're everyone dead. Yes, sir. But he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life, and I'll raise him up to the last day.
Amen.
I am the bread of life that comes from God out of heaven. If a man eats this bread, he shall never die.
Amen.
Now, you know, they had the natural, we got the spiritual. Oh, we wouldn't exchange it for nothing. Wonderful. Oh, you say, Brother Branham, we all know you're a fanatic. Well, I do too. I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? You may be the devil's fool. All right, so I'd rather be a fool for Christ, wouldn't you? All right. Notice, here's another thing about that manna. When they began to taste it, they said it tastes like honey. Yes, it was sweet. I could just see them old saints smacking their lips and eating away. It was good. Did you ever taste this? This is good too. But taste and see the Lord is good. It tastes like honey in the rock. I've also made this remark many times, that when David of old, who spoke that in his psalm, said it tastes like honey in the rock. David being a shepherd, he had a little script bag they carry on their side, and they always pack honey in, as the old shepherds do yet in the Palestine. And when they're sick, sheep gets going on, then the first thing you know, he reaches down to get a piece of honey. He takes and rubs it on the rock, a limestone rock, and the sheep likes that honey, so he goes to licking that honey off the rock. And there's something about limestone that heals the sick sheep. And I say, we got a whole spit bag full of honey here tonight, and we're going to put it on the rock, Christ Jesus, and the sick sheep go to licking, you're sure to get well. That's right. Just lick, 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 and while licking the honey, why, you're sure to get some of the limestone. That's just as sure as anything. Now, we're not going to put it on the church. We're going to put it on Christ, where it belongs. That's right. Because healing belongs in Christ. Amen. Like all other redemption and blessings. Notice, and another thing, when that began to fall, Aaron was commanded to go out and get several omerfuls of it. Now, if they tried to keep some over for the second day, it's spoiled. And that's a whole lot among the Holy Ghost people tonight. You're trying to think, well, 20 years ago we had a good message. We had a good time. What you got tonight? That's the thing. It failed every night. It never failed one time, only on the Sabbath.
Amen.
That's right. And that God has sent it down new every night. Every day, every hour it comes.
Amen.
Notice, them Omer fools was kept up. He said, now look, when you come into the land and your children begin to inquire about this, that every priest now that comes into the priesthood, after he had the permission to come to the holy place and so forth and ordained a priest, then he had a right to go in and take a mouthful of the original manna that fell at the beginning. The very first that fell, they picked it up and put it in an omer and kept it, and it was just reserved for the priesthood. Now, you say, Brother Branham, what type does that have today? Well, we are the priesthood. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, making spiritual sacrifices unto God, the fruits of your lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. There it is. Now, then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was fallen in our manner. Now, every priest back there in the Old Testament, when they come in to be a priest, they knew they were going to get a mouthful of the original manna. Not some made up, some man made it look like it, but they're going to get some of the original. Or on the day of Pentecost, when our manna began to fall, the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind. Here was a bunch of little dignified people, 120, in an upper room. Doors shut, windows down, sat back there waiting for the promise. Yeah, they'd been with Jesus, sure. They know His power and all that, but they were waiting for the promise.
Amen.
That's what we want tonight. If this group of people could get in one accord like they was on that night, the same thing would repeat tonight, right here in this building in Louisville, Kentucky, that repeated on the day of Pentecost. That's right. Oh, of course, they had the same kind of critics there in Louisville we had there. But they were all in one place, one accord. And suddenly, there came a minister up, and he had a letter. And they signed their names and had the right hand of fellowship and entered into the church fellowship. That might be today, but that wasn't then. That's the way the Protestant does it. The Catholic walks up to the altar and takes his first communion, licks out his tongue, takes the wafer, and the priest drinks the wine. Then he becomes that. But then on the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Man had nothing to do with it. Like a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. The power of God struck upon them out into the streets. They went acting like a bunch of maniacs. Like they did down there when they come to the Red Sea. Is that right? They screamed, they cried on, they staggered, they stammered with their lips. They all such a carry on till the people, the dignified church, stood back and said, these people are drunk on new wine. Hallelujah! Going to call me a holy roller anyhow, so you might as well get started now. All right. Look. They were full of new wine. That's right. The wine that come from God out of heaven. You ever see a drunk man? He's just in love with everybody. He don't care. That's the way a man is when he gets drunk on the Spirit. The Bible said, be not drunk on strong drink, get access, but to be drunk on the Spirit. Spirit of God makes you so drunk you forget all your enemies and everything. Everybody's in love with you. You don't care about who's standing around you. You're the biggest man in the country right then. I don't care if your neighbor's sitting there. If you went to some dignified church, just let the Holy Ghost get on you one time. See what takes place. Get right real good sal's drunk. You'll see what takes place. You'll say, sister, I got it. You want it too. That's right. Yes, sir, something will take place. There they was, all drunk on new wine. And listen to some of you sisters here. Did you know the Blessed Virgin Mary was in that? Now, she had to go up there, the mother of Jesus Christ, had to go up there and be included in that bunch of people so drunk on the Spirit till she staggered like she was drunk on whiskey or something. And you think you'll get to heaven by slipping over to the church and putting your songbook under your arm and walking over every Sunday morning and the bell tolls and sitting and listening to some of you and walk back? You'll never do it. You'll have to come that route because that's the only route God ever laid down and ever has, and you'll walk it or won't be there. I'm not your judge, but I'm preaching the gospel. That's exactly the truth. The Blessed Virgin was right there, acted just as idiotic as the rest of them did. just as drunk as the rest of them. These men and women, every one of them, was full of new wine. If God ever changed that program, put your finger on the scripture for me. It isn't there. No, sir, it was come on to the end of the age that way. Come on to the end of the Bible. And it will be the same thing when Jesus comes. Look, while they were drunk on that new wine, look, we see if God put a home full up for you all. All right, here was all of us standing out there, a little cowardly preacher by the name of Peter, the little rock, had been so scared of his position until he denied Jesus and run out and prayed to him, he had to be gathered with him. Sit up on a soapbox or something, said, well, you men of Judea, you that dwell in Jerusalem? That was doctors. DDs. Oh, said you man that man of Israel and dwellers in Jerusalem and so forth, let this be known unto you. These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's the third hour of the day, but this is that. If this ain't that, I'm going to keep this to that time. That's one thing. He said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and all my handmaids and maidservants, well, I'll pour out of my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I'll show signs in the heavens above, and in the earth, and pillars of fire, and smoke and vapor. It shall come to pass before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That bunch of self-styled, along-rope, hypocritical priests said, what can we do to be saved? Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. How long is it? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then every man that repents and is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and God gives him the baptism of the Holy Ghost, doesn't get something looks like the first manna. But he don't only get a mouthful of the first manna, but he gets a heartful of the same Holy Spirit. You must have cut that down a little. I know I'm a little loud on that, but I just can't help it. Notice. Look, I'm not yelling at you. Maybe rebounding from it. But oh, if you felt like I did, you'd be loud too. Notice. Oh, a heartful of the original manna that fell at the beginning. The same Holy Spirit fell then, is falling now. And where would it go to? To you, to your children. Then it falls, Louisville, Kentucky. And as many as the Lord our God shall call, will receive the very same thing that we've got here. That's what he said. God blessed it. He preached it. Holy Ghost brought it. I got it. That settles it. Amen. That's good enough for me. I took him at his word. He did it. If you want it, you can have it too. That's right. You'll get out of the dead condition and wake up. It'll just shake you like that and wake you up. And first thing you look around, everything looks different to you. That fellow couldn't speak to you, and you'll hurry to get to him to speak to him. Yes, sir. Just got to speak to him, that's all. All those things. Take them old car tools back and all that. Them things you took out of the hotel that time, that old towel, you back around that silverware you took off the table, you'll hurry back to get to take it back. You sure will. Yes, sir. It'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now look at Mary. Oh, my, we have to hurry. We're getting right along. Here they go through the wilderness now. That's the old-fashioned meeting. Now, they're on their journey. Isn't it strange that they was led right straight to the wilderness of sin? Right up to the wilderness, right up into the fountain of bitter water. Could you imagine God taking his children right as they got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost to fountains of bitter water? Sure. He'd like to express his love to them again. That's right. They got up there. You know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you just hit a lot of obstacles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. God brings you right up facing with him so he can show you his power and his goodness. Like I heard the story of the shepherd in Jerusalem who had broken sheep's leg. They said, well, you cruel shepherd, why did you break the sheep's leg? He said, well, she didn't act like she loved me. So I thought I'd just break her leg, so I'd have to give her some special attention, and then she'd love me from then on. Sometimes God has to lay you on your back with a sickness. The doctor says you're going to die. God can give you a little special treatment so you love him a little more. That's right. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through deep trials, but all through the blood. Jesus leads his church. Now when they were there and the waters were bitter and they couldn't drink, God provided a way. A little old tree swinging there on the bank. Moses just cut it down, threw it in the water, changed the whole thing. Good sweet water. Now, when you come up against one of your bitter waters or something like that, there's a tree tonight, spiritually speaking, hanging over Golgotha or the world tonight that'll sweeten any bitter waters that you may be led by. That's right. The Calvary will sweeten any experience. Many times we get into hard places and wonder how, but I shut my eyes sometimes and think, yonder on Golgotha, where my Redeemer bled and died for my life, then my trials seem so little. I just so excited and walk on. It makes it sweet as sweet as every experience I ever had. He always sweetens it when I come to my waters of Marah. Now, we're about to catch him now over here in the wilderness after all those great signs and wonders. The revival had quietened down. And the first thing you know when the revival quietened down, well, they forgot all about the miracles. Isn't that just about like people today? They forget what God did last year, what God did at the meeting I had at the high school, and you forget all about it. See? What God did, we just forget it. Now, notice, and because they begin to argue with one another, well, I'm really, after all, I'm a Methodist. Our church is the biggest thing. I'm a Baptist, and I'll tell you right now, we believe in eternal security. We got it. Y'all ain't got the doctrine after all. That's when you get in trouble and your water supply gets cut off. That's right. That's right. That's when the desert, he lives out in the desert, begin to murmur. Murmur, complain. Well, I'll tell you, when that old pastor was here, that old preacher that preached that old-time religion like that, I don't know whether he was right or not. I'll tell you, he made my mother so mad one night she went home, and I'll tell you, she stirred up like she ought to be. That's right. Oh, I don't know whether I want to hear any more of that or not. That's when your water supply is cut off. That's right. That's when you get in the desert. They begin to murmur. They said, our souls loathe this light bread. After they had left the garlic and the onions of Egypt and was eating angel's food and still complaining. Isn't that like the church? Now I'm coming down to holiness people now. Yes, all of you. Eat the angel's food and then said, I wish we was back in Egypt to get some more garlic. Clayton McMitchell and his Wildcats is going to be at the barn tonight. If I hadn't joined that old church, I could go down. You might as well go on. Where your treasures is, there your heart is also. You never got another when you started. That's right. Right. Oh, I'd like to do this and do that. There you are. Or if they complain, they left the muddy waters of Egypt to drink the pure waters from the rock of ages and was complaining about it. They left the place where the great boasting physicians of Egypt, great boasters of all, to be with the great physician. They left the place where they said that the days of miracles is past to be with the people who had signs and wonders for them. And still complaining. Oh, my. Yes, sir. Down there, of course, the Egyptians, they were cold, Gentiles, and different. They didn't believe no such a thing as miracles. Then they was out here where they had a pillar of fire around them. We got it tonight. They're out there where they had joy in the camp, shouting, miracles being performed and everything, and then complaining about it. That's the reason the water dried up. That's the reason they didn't have nothing to eat or drink. Because they were murmuring. And that's what's the matter with the churches around Louisville tonight. Murmur, complaining, mercy, get back to the harvest. Yes, sir. Then who is this guy Moses? Why do we listen to this holy roller preacher anyhow? What are we doing out here? And their water supply dried up. I think of Moses, that great man. He was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Let's look at him just for a few minutes. Let's take Moses just for a minute. Look at that fellow. He was, the Egyptians, they were far beyond us today when it comes to our medical science. They were far beyond us. Many things they could do that we couldn't, and Moses had all the remedies. And when he was out there, think Moses had about 2 million people with him. He had little children. He had old men, old women. He had cripples and blind. Babies were born, thousands of them, in a week's time. And Moses, Dr. Moses, was out there in the wilderness with all these people. I'd like to look into his medicine chest, wouldn't you? I'd like to see what Dr. Moses had in the medicine chest. Let's just take a little peep over the medicine chest and see what he had. Moses, why, what do you have in there, Moses? Why, we find out that when all that 40 years journey, over 2 more million babies is born. That's right. What did you use, Moses? What did you use for all those hurts and aches and cancers and blindness and deafness and dumbness? Why, they tell me that when you come out of the wilderness, there wasn't a feeble one among them. Hey, wouldn't some of these doctors like to look into that medicine cabinet? And another thing, Moses, what did you sprinkle on those people to even their clothes didn't wear out? Their shoes never wore out walking on those rocks. If you ever been there, you know what the desert looks like. They wore out a pair of shoes in 3 days. And they never even wore one speck of the leather off of them in 40 years. Moses, what was in your medicine chest?
Amen.
Let's look into it. I see. Got one prescription. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. That's better.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Moses. My father's over here. He just fell and broke his leg. What have you got for him? Let me look and see. If thou wilt obey my voice, do all that I command, I'll put none of these diseases up on you, have the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Tell him that. He got well. That's right. Oh, he's seriously sick. My baby's got the colic or the pneumonia so bad. Dr. Moses, what can I do? Let me see what I got. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. That settles it. Amen. Away they went. That's right. Going on rejoicing. That's all he needed. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Out of 600 and something definite promises of divine healing in the New Testament alone, and yet we question God tonight. What will the judgment mean for us? Right. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Yes, sir. That's what Moses had. Dr. Moses had in his cedar, in his medicine chest was this. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. So he healed all the diseases and kept them perfectly and brought them out onto the wilderness into the promised land. Oh, my. They left all those big boasting physicians to be with this great physician. They left that bunch of people as cold, formal, and indifferent, saying there was no such a thing as miracles, and right here a pillar of fire was hanging over them. People were being healed. Everything was, anything they had need of was furnished right to them. And yet they were complaining. When they got out of the water, but then in the sovereign grace of God, in all of that, like you are here in Louisville tonight, in the midst of all of this, crying out the days of miracles is past. The medical association is trying to stop divine healing across the country. You never stop it, you might as well stop now. You can no more stop it, you can stop the sun. That's right. Here a few years ago when I first started in Jeffersonville, was preaching divine healing, it hadn't been known, quit practicing for years. It was a hard thing. But brother, tonight there's millions of them everywhere. Crying out! How to stop it, you couldn't. I, the Lord, have planted it, I'll water it day and night, unless some should pluck it from my hand.
Amen.
Here not long ago, I was looking at some little sparrows on the Statue of Liberty. They were just laying there. The little fellows were laying all around under the light. And I said, what did that to the guide? He said, they beat their brains out last night in that storm. They got into the light, and the light would have took them to safety, but they were trying to put the light out. And they beat their brains out trying to put the light out. And I said, glory to God. I guess he's all over crazy. But that puts in the mind of some of these people trying to beat out divine healing and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You'll beat your brains out. You'll never just accept it and find a safety in it.
Amen.
Amen. Speak to the rock, Moses. God told Moses, it'll bring forth his water. Bring forth his water. Here not long ago, I was looking at a picture in a certain museum of this rock being smitten, and it looked like a little bitty stream pouring out about the size of a knit needle. I thought, how ridiculous these artists can get. Well, brother, I could drink that thing dry if I was right thirsty. Yes, sir. Do you know what Moses had to drink from that rock? He had over 2 million people besides all the animals. It's taken about 40,000 gallons a minute to drink them. Hallelujah! That puts in the mind of somebody in religion. You just got enough religion to go to Sunday school on Sunday morning, you spat a little bit and moisten you up a little. I like to sit at the fountains where the gushers come out. Hallelujah! Enough to take you through eternity. Hallelujah! I'm glad I moved out of that old moist place over to the spout where she's just a-pouring all the time. Yes, sir. People just got enough religion to make them miserable. But I can't set over about 10 minutes. My goodness, how long-winded is that preacher? How deep is your salvation? That's right. Go up of a Sunday morning and say, well, I'll go up and hear what you got to say and get one little spat and go back, and that's about all you got. Brother, I'm telling you, when Moses smoked that rock, it watered the whole wilderness.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. The only thing, everything they had need for, they just fell right down and drink, till they were just filled up. Still more waters are coming. About 40,000 gallons a minute. Figure out how many people, a million people, 2 million people could drink in a minute's time. Thirsty people, besides the camels and the animals and things they had. And the Bible said it come forth in abundance. He just roared out through the wilderness. That's the way Jesus Christ gives the Holy Ghost. Not just a little bit to say, well, I believe I'll go and join the church. Oh, my. Oh, I can't stand that noise. It gives me the shivers. If you ever die, you'd freeze to death if you got to heaven. Because, brother, you're going to hear some noise when you get there. The Bible said they're shouting hallelujah day and night, all day, because there's no night. That's right. You'll certainly die when you get to heaven the second day.
Yes, sir.
Well, you just what you did, you just went and got moist a little. Won't you sit down in the Gershon, let her pour down until it washes you out into, hallelujah, into the midst until you lose yourself and don't know where you're at.
Hey, that's where you would have been. I used to tell my uncle and my daddy, oh, I can see him, this little clown up here, beautiful pipe. One day, Dad went back and said, oh, Tubber, I want to see this man. Little clown is about that deep. I sent him a soapbox. I stripped off my belongings. We got on my baby's like Christmas plate up down on the soapbox and hit the mud, flew both ways. I didn't splash the mud. I said, how are you doing, Dad? I said, get out of there. Swimming. Mud crawling all the time. We got a lot of mud crawling church members, too. That's right. Mud crawlers. Yes, sir. One day, my uncle got me out in the boat, and I was popping off about 20 over here, a little high, over about 20 foot of water. He just took the oil and knocked me off the water, so now what about it? Amen! Hallelujah! I had to swim around, man. Oh, my, am I going to get used to it now? Get you out of the bush, the words God opened up the rock down in the wilderness and just pulled it out. Speak to the rock, he said, and it'll bring forth its water. Maybe my friends and I, maybe you're perishing. You should speak to the rock. That's right. Maybe you went everywhere. Maybe you went to church and joined the Methodist and joined the Baptist and they got mad at you and went to Presbyterian and back to the Pentecostal and worked and asked that till the moment. And you're still on where you're standing. You should speak to the rock tonight. Yes, are you on speaking terms with him? Yeah, he said, speak to the rock and he'll bring forth his water. He'll bring forth his water to you. Don't have to hit him anymore. Just speak to him. Just on friendly terms, speak to him. Maybe he's just a doctor. Maybe he's done everything you know how to do to try to get well. Maybe you've just done everything to see your power you're in, and you can't get well. Every doctor you went to, every office you know how, and the doctor says you just there's nothing can be done for you. Why don't you speak to the rock tonight? He's got the waters of life there for you, giving you life so abundantly. One time there's a woman in the Bible by the name of Hagar. I'm thinking of her, and I'm thinking of the close of the time. There's a woman by the name of Hagar. And she had a little baby. She was trying to out in the wilderness with one little crunch of water. She said the little thing all day long, but the water did out along about middle of the day. The little baby was screaming and crying. His little lips were parched and his tongue was swelling. A poor, dear mother. What could she do? She had stained every little place she could to find some water, but no water could be found. She couldn't stand to see the baby die. So she laid under a bush and went off about a bow shot. And she knelt down and spake to the rock. Would you speak to the rock and angel spake back and said, Hagar, what's that bursting out over there? There was a whole well full of water that's still running today. After almost 4,000 years, it's still running today. The fountain of Bashar there is still running today. He spake to the rock and the rock brought the water. There were some Hebrew children went in the fiery furnace one day, and they spake to the rock, and the rock was with them. There was a woman come out from Samaria one time. She was discouraged, she was sinful, and had a lot of things hanging on her life, perhaps. And she was discouraged, she went to Jacob's well for relief, and she'd go back. She'd go to Jacob's well and go back. And one day she set the water pot down, and was saying, you're discouraged? And there stood the rock, standing by her. She spake to that rock, he gave her a great gusher in her soul. She ran to the city. She never come to draw anymore. She had lies. She said, come see a man that told me everything I ever done. Isn't this the Christ?
Amen.
She spake to the rock, and the rock brought forth its water. There was a little woman who had wasted all of her money on doctors. Perhaps she had taken all of her money to stop the blood issue. She'd probably mortgaged her farm and maybe sold it, and she was sitting knitting one day. And she heard something coming down the road. She spake to the rock. The rock turned around and said, she touched me. It was over. When she spoke to the rock, he gave her a bushel of life that stopped the blood issue and bounced quickly. There was an old blind beggar standing to the side of the wall one day, shivering in the cold. Everything he had was gone. And where he was in the misery and people passing by, he heard something coming. So what is it? He spake to the rock. All those church members around him tried to stop him. He said, no need, you can't get it. Stay away, hold your peace. But he cried louder. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And he spake to the rock, and the rock gave him a gusher, and his eyes come open. That same rock that was in the wilderness is here today. It makes the people rejoice. One day all Jerusalem was sitting out to see a divine healer, a holy ruler, entering into the town with a few people standing there screaming at the top of their voice, Hosanna! Hosanna!
to him that cometh in the name of the Lord. That self-styled church members was out there with the long robes on with their CDs behind them. Said, make them hold their peace. My, they make sure of my back and so forth. Make them hold their peace. He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. Why was it? The very rock that was shoot out of the mountain with our hands was coming rolling into Jerusalem. The little rocks just drinking from it. Speak to the rock, and it'll bring forth its waters. If you need salvation tonight, speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its waters. If you're a backslider tonight, speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its waters. If you're here tonight, and without Christ, you've got every church there is in town to find salvation. Speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its waters. You believe it. If you're a backslider gone away from God, you think there's not a chance for you, just speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its waters. You believe that with all your heart? You believe that God would grant it with all your heart? You believe it? Hallelujah. He's here tonight. If you're sick and you've tried everything in the world, you've tried to get in the prayer line, and you can't get in the prayer line. You've had prayer cards and turned down. You went to one meeting, you went to another meeting, you've been annoyed by the pastor. You come through this prayer line, you've been everywhere else, and you can't get healed. Well, I'll just speak to the rock now. He'll bring forth his waters. That's why I want you to give him a try once. You don't speak in terms with him. Right now, while he's in the building, his presence is right here now to heal every one of you. I believe it, I know it with all my heart. I believe there's some things that I do not know, but there's some things that I do know. And I know that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is right here. Well, I'm even trying to make an altar call right now in my heart. The demons are breaking all over the building right now. Well, that's right. The powers of God is right here. That's right. I see him moving right here. It's beginning to break me from one dimension to another right now. Because there's sick people here in your prayers. It's what they're doing is you confirm the word of God saying he's right here to be spoken to tonight. The same rock that stood and perceived their thoughts, seeing where the woman was, that was had a blood issue and so forth. He's here now. If you'll speak to him, he'll bring forth his waters. Do you believe that with all your heart? What do you think, lady? Right there, sitting right there. You don't have a prayer card, do you? You lay the white thing around her neck, sitting right there. You have diabetes, don't you? You don't have a prayer card, do you? You don't need any prayer card. Do you believe that? You can even speak to the rock? You want to speak to him for your diabetes right now? Stand up on your feet then. Right on. You say, I accept Jesus Christ now as my healer. And God will take you home and will make you well. Speak to the rock. God bless you. All right, go and be made well. What do you think about setting a cure, lady? You have varicose veins in your leg, don't you? That's right. Stand up on your feet. Is that your husband sitting next to you there? Is that right? You have diabetes too, don't you? Is that right? Put your hand over on the right. All right. You both are from Illinois. Isn't that right? Now you return back to Illinois speaking to the rock, and it'll leave you and never come back again. Hallelujah! I know one thing, that the rock is sure, the rock of ages. That's maybe the wilderness. That's right. What do you think about a little lady with flowers on your hat? Sitting there with arthritis trying to get over. You determined to look the other way. Do you believe with all your heart that God's going to heal you? Stand up on your feet then, stomp your feet up and down, say the arthritis is gone. And it's, well, bring to the rock. And it'll bring forth his death. I tell you, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's sure to make manifest anything that. What do you think about it, lady sitting there said, praise the Lord, with that female trouble, with a little green-looking jacket on sitting there. You believe that God healed you then? Stand up just in the sitting right there. You believe with all your heart? You got a female trouble. It's an abscess. You got some kind of drainage comes from it. Isn't that right? If that's right, raise your hand. What's making you say that? It's a rock speaking to you. Speak back to him and be made well. Hallelujah. Oh, how he wants to bring his manifestations of his power. Now, see the angel of God, the very same pillar of fire. That's how the children in the wilderness moving through this building now. I'm crying out, okay, the woman. She's praying. Where is she? Here. There he stands. Yes, it's a little woman standing right there. The second one sitting in. No, it's about a man standing. It's a drunkard husband that you're praying for. Isn't that right, lady? If it is, stand up on your feet right there. Have you got a drunkard husband you were praying for? If that's right, raise up your hand. Speak to the rock and God bringing out of the land. God will do anything in here. If you want him to do it, do you believe it? Are you all speaking terms with him? If you are, stand to your feet right now and speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth his waters. Will you stand? Who wants you for salvation? Raise your hand. Say, I want you to come into my heart. God bless you. 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 Oh, my. Yes, sir. That cancer left you there, my brother. It's gone. You can only be well now. Hallelujah.
That's true. All that wants to be healed, raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. That's right, there he goes. Mr. Your spine is left you there. You are free. Go home in Jesus Christ's name. You're healed. Anybody in here that wants to find him out, raise up your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus Christ that you heal me. Oh, God of mercy, send your power tonight with the anointing of the Holy Ghost while he's in this building light and sweep over this audience. And may the Holy Ghost perform every miracle. May there not be a sick or a crippled person left in the building tonight. May you heal everyone in Jesus Christ's name.